believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Blessed is he who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a reading that normally you hear it at Christmas, but it's not Christmas yet. Even though the shops probably are thinking about Christmas. Hey, you'll be surprised. Because they had to strategize. Now, today I want to talk on the topic, God is speaking to the priest. God is speaking to the priest. God is speaking to the priest. So I'm wondering, you may be wondering, who is the priest here? Who is the vicar here? We're not talking about that. Last week, I did tell you that the priesthood, according to the word of God, and each time God mentions that in the Bible, we're talking about the male figure. Male figure in the family, male figure in the home. And today I want you to understand that God is speaking to the male figures in homes and in this house right now. Hallelujah. But will we listen to it? And as I was speaking, which will come through the preach, is that when the priesthood is missing in the home, then someone will have to stand in that place. And anyone can stand in that place. More likely is the women who do so. So because there's priesthood of all believers, as the Baptist people would say, even though that expression is not in the Bible. But Bible says we are a royal priesthood. So, this is a story about two very decent people making a home for themselves, but there was a problem in the home. Two very godly people. Two church-going people. Two people with the name of God upon their lives. And in fact, if you read through it carefully in the beginning, you see that Zechariah came from the line of the priesthood of Aaron. And similarly, he came and he even stood in the division of Abijah. And Elizabeth also was a descendant of Aaron. So these people are decent people. They came from a priestly home, and therefore their function is to offer sacrifices before God. Their function is to worship God. Their function is to lead people to worship God, wherever they are. They came from a decent home, but there is a problem. The problem is the couple were childless, and there seemed to be no hope or way forward for them. According to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through to 7, there was no hope for them. Let me remind you again that the priesthood is male. And when the priest is not standing up and function, that leaves a gap of barrenness in the home. Say barrenness. Barrenness means childless. So when the male figure in the home is not standing up for God and being hot for God and not being filled with the Spirit of God and not doing what they're supposed to do, there is a problem in the home. There is barrenness. That means there is no fruitfulness in the home. No spiritual fruitfulness. And you leave a gap for the enemy to attack the home. It's not the house they are going to attack. It's not going to bend down. It is so obvious for you. So Satan will not do that. But there will be an attack in some way or the other. Can be attacking your spirit, your soul, even in your workplace, anything, anywhere else. The enemy knows how to strike strategically. Because I remember a story in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus Christ was in the wilderness and was being tempted by Satan, Jesus Christ was able to answer all his questions and literally rebuff it with the word of God powerfully. And the Bible said he left him until an opportune moment. That means a strategic moment that he knows he'll be effective, he will come and strike. So, if the male figure is not standing up as priest and not standing up to function in a spiritual way, that leaves a gap of barrenness. And that is a problem. It brings a sense of lostness in the home. Lostness of identity, focus, and direction. There is a sense of hopelessness and sense of lostness in terms of peace in the home. This is not the sort of legacy that we want to leave for our home, do we? This is not a legacy we want to leave for our children, do we? This is not a legacy we want to leave for our generations, do we? We don't want to leave such legacies for our families. Because if we do, that would define them for a long time, and in some cases, for generations to come. Because what starts today will follow. And when you go to some homes where people are on social, you can go back and see that 50 years ago, somebody in the home was on social. And people grow up and see this is what it ought to be. It doesn't mean that you are in your social, when you're on social, it's a bad thing. Sometimes we get to a point that it is not that easy. And there should be a safety net to help you out. And if you're able to stand on your feet, encourage your children. But some people just love it that way, that they don't want to do any other thing for themselves. And they complain that social is not enough. And the kids grow up thinking social is not enough. God has nothing else to do. We live in a generation that depend upon that level of living. So we don't want to define our generation for a long time with this. Last Sunday, I spoke to a 5-year-old child in this church. The child had a sparkle in the eye and a smile in the face. I went closer and had a brief chat with that child. It was very, very healthy and wonderful. And I asked, "How is Daddy?" The reply I got was, "Daddy does not believe in church anymore." I can assure you, I gave that child a hug and left. But that response I got from the child stayed with me the whole week. Daddy does not believe in church anymore. And yet the priesthood is male. The priesthood need to function in the home so that people will see that our God is God and bring a spiritual covering over the people. So I'm speaking to you, if you're here and you're male in this church, I want you to know that God wants you to stand up and bring a covering over your family and not define them. So when they grew up, they said, "Daddy did not believe in church anymore, so why should I believe in church?" Literally, we are training them to, leave God, isn't it? Out of their lives. And the enemy loves that. Because if God is not in your life, you're an easy target. And he will do that. God rescued us and brought us into a fruitful land. And not a land of barrenness. Aaron and Elizabeth came from a priesthood home. So God actually, they inherited the promise of Abraham. And the blessing that was given in Genesis chapter 32 was for them. That the Levites are going to be blessed of God. And God will be their provision in every situation. And here were people from the Levitical home, priesthood, and there was barrenness. God brought us into a land of fruitfulness. and not a land of barrenness. Today we are going to stand up and say no to barrenness, so that we will minister as priests of God in a land of no barrenness. Hallelujah. We want to stand and say, God, we want to minister in a land of no barrenness. Because we will stand in our calling. We will stand in the priesthood and the division of Abijah. We will stand in the Aaronic priesthood. We will stand as royal priesthood and minister in the name of Jesus. And we will minister in the land of no barrenness. Let's talk about the priesthood, sacrifice, and function without going into too much details. There is a season and times for the priest to stand up and burn incense before the Lord. And that time is now. That time is near, and that time is at hand. Because Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. And when he started his ministry, check it out. In Mark chapter 1 verse 15, the kingdom of God is at hand. God wants to bring fruitfulness into the land and into your home and into your destiny and into your situation. God wants to bring fruitfulness. And that is what we find in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is of power to shift boundaries in the supernatural, to shift boundaries in your prayers, to shift boundaries in your sacrifices, to shift boundaries in your worship. That is what it's supposed to be. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. God wants to do that. So find the time to perform your priestly functions. The men in this house, I'm saying, please find the time to perform your priestly functions, because you have time for every other thing. Otherwise, you bring barrenness into your homes. Thank you. We want to be in the land of no barrenness. Because when God released the people of Israel and he blessed them and he sent them out, said, you go to a land that flows in milk and honey. Isn't that right? A land that there will be pockets of sweetness for you. A land that there will be enough pasture to feed your lamb. And therefore there will be every sufficiency for you. Because he lead you beside the still waters. And he restore your soul. Because God is going to lead you into the green pastures. Amen. One cannot hope anymore. There's got to be an awakening in the heart and spirit of the priest to stand up before God and offer incense. This is when real vitality and spiritual energy begins in the home. When the priest has found time to wake up at certain times of the day to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray and seek God's face and cover the family while they sleep, that is when there is going to be spiritual vitality in the home. That's when there's going to be spiritual energy in the home, because you are influencing the home with the supernatural power of God. And that is your function. Because the priests were before God every day. They go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was there. Where the supernatural presence of God was there. Because not everybody could go, but they could. Because that is their function. Hallelujah. You are made male and female. So, I'm addressing you males, but I'm addressing you all, because you all have a function to play in this priesthood. So if you're a priest and you are not functioning, you cannot hope anymore. There's got to be an awakening to bring real vitality and energy in the home. Other than this, we are just one of a number of somewhat decent people walking along the road. Because if you look at Zechariah, the Bible said he was with the priests. And yet, look at the lineage that he came from. Powerful, powerful priest of God. You can do a little study about Abijah and you understand exactly how powerful that guy was. You can do a study about Aaron and you know where he came from. So you can see that God wanted people to stand up. But then Zechariah, a descendant of Aaron, though a righteous man with his wife, righteous in the sight of God, observing all the laws and commands and decrees, they were childless, not able to conceive. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. So that means when his division was not on duty, he was not serving. There's got to be a season, and the season is now. That means that you don't have to wait till you're on duty before you serve God, right? Hallelujah. We read from Luke chapter 1, verse 10. And when the time came for the burning of the incense came, all assembled worshippers were praying. Hallelujah. When the time of burning of incense came, all the worshippers were praying. So we never heard that they were praying until the time of burning of incense came. So when you begin to burn the incense, your hearts begin to pray. Are you with me? You see, it doesn't mean I go to the market and burn some incense. And incense is worship. When you begin to worship, when you begin to stand in your priesthood and worship, then the house has spiritual vitality and spiritual energy, and they begin to pray with you. Because you've lit the place up. You've influenced the place up with incense. You've influenced the place with prayers. Yeah, that's the spiritual, the interpretation of incense. It's prayers and it's worship. When you influence that place, then the place, the people begin to pray and worship with you. If you're not doing it, they're not doing that. You may have a job, a skill set, a career, or a business going for you, but that is not your purpose in life. Did you hear that? That is not your purpose in life. As a child of God, your purpose is to offer sacrifices and services before the Lord, and that will bring a covering over your home. Then you hear the voice of God again. Let's go to verse 11. Then, you see, if you read verse 10, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then, say then with me, then. You see, so when he did that, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you hear the voice of God again. God is speaking to the priest today. God has been speaking to the priest for a while. And someone need to hear it today. I didn't have any man's name in my mind when I was talking, when I was preparing. But I just want you to know that even your skill set is not your purpose in life. What about you play a keyboard? Isaac, I'm not picking on you. What about you play a keyboard and your hand goes? You do it with your legs, right? We're not looking for that because you're doing a great job. If the priest will not stand up to minister and bring revelation, someone need to carry that function in the house. Hallelujah. That is where Elizabeth came in. Hallelujah. You see, Elijah was not carrying that function that he's supposed to do. He was a righteous man with a wife. They came from priestly functions. But then as you listen to the discord, you will see that Elizabeth, though female and not male, to go into the temple to offer the sacrifices, she was offering those sacrifices, and that was her lifestyle in the house. Hallelujah. When we move closer, let me pick this one before I jump the gun. Today I just want to remind you that the barren will bring forth a child. Hallelujah. So all is not lost for you, male, in this house. The barren will bring forth a child. Don't let fear hold you back. Get up and speak to that man or woman or child in your life and tell them times of refreshing is on the way, so they should turn and return to God. So if you're home and say you're a woman and your husband is not believing, I want to encourage you, don't let fear grip you. Get up and tell that person that you got to bring the priesthood to the house. Are you with me? And if you're a child and your father is missing, in quotes, that means in the home, but nothing is happening, or maybe even not in your life, you got your mother. And somehow you have to tell your mother, Mom, you know something? You got to bring the priesthood into the home. Are you with me? Encourage each other to bring the priesthood into the home. Don't let fear hold you back. Because if you look at verse 12 and 13, when Zechariah saw him, the angel, right? So let me read from verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Hallelujah. God has a specific message for the priesthood. God is speaking, and somehow somebody needs to stand and hear that clear message that the time of barrenness is over, and now we are going to be ushered into a land of no barrenness, which is fruitfulness. But fear cannot be in the way. And in fact, I put in my notes very boldly that no one is going to walk away from your life because you told them the truth. Your wife is not going to divorce you because you told her the truth. That you need to really take God seriously. They will get upset and have a hump for a day or two. They will come back. They're not packing their things. When they pack their things, they get to the door and then they're thinking, where am I going? They will come back. Yes. And if your man is not being a priest in the home, tell him that the truth of God is that you have to stand up and bring fruitfulness into this home and no barrenness into this home. He may get upset with you because, Mela, we are so proud and sometimes we kind of argue. Let him argue. Let him go to the pub. He will come back. Let him go away from the house for a day. He will come back because you're praying. And they'll be disturbing their spirit. You just put a hedge around him. You can even determine how far he could go. You can pray that, look, God, this man is not going beyond that field near my house. And I can assure you that he can't go any further because you put a hedge around him. Hallelujah. You got to be bold here. We have to begin to learn to put hedges around the stubbornness and contain it so that we can speak into it. No one is going to walk away from your life because you've told them the truth. In fact, it's a blessing to turn one from wickedness or wicked ways and come to the Lord. How do I know that? If you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 26, it reads, "When God raised up his servant, Jesus Christ, he sent him first to you," meaning the Jews, "to bless you by turning each one of you from your wicked ways." So that means being turned away from your wicked ways is a blessing for you. And that is what Jesus Christ won. So if you're able to speak into somebody's life, look into their face and say, you got to be the priest in the house, and they listen or they don't listen, remember, you are actually bringing that person into a blessing if they turn. So explain to them that I'm calling into the blessings of God for you to stand in your priesthood. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. When we move closer in worship, sacrifice, and prayer, then we will birth the supernatural in our lives and in our home. In that, God will remove the barrenness and replace that with fruitfulness. That is, children who are full of the Holy Spirit. Because that the child will be called John, and he will be full of the Holy Spirit even before he was born. So this is where you can see that God has preempted and predetermined something good for the priests to walk into. When he was in the temple ministering, when his time had come and he was doing that, he activated the whole home and the people were worshiping. The angel came and he was scared, but he came with good news. Because sometimes, you know what? Especially men who don't want to pick themselves up, it's fear of how far they could go because they always want to be in control. And I'm a man too. You understand that? So fear will grip them. Fear of the supernatural, because he saw an angel and he started shaking. But there were other people who saw the same angel and they were not shaking. He said, I am Gabriel. And he started shaking because he's not used to the supernatural. He's not used to supernatural. But those who were used to the supernatural, they did not actually get scared at all. Hallelujah. We need to birth children who are full of the Holy Spirit. This will thus replace anything which will otherwise define them for the future or harm them. But that will happen when the priesthood is standing to minister before God. When the priesthood is standing and minister before God, you birth children. The barrenness is replaced with fruitfulness, and the children that you birth are children of the supernatural, full of the Holy Spirit. We need a people who are full of the Holy Spirit around us to influence and change the atmosphere wherever we go. Many will rejoice when they see what you are birthing in full. That is full of the Holy Spirit. Because we read that the angel said, and many will rejoice at the birth of John the Baptist. So when your children are changing in the home, your situation is changing in the home, you're being successful, not only, physically out there, but spiritually too, and that is also now manifesting itself in the physical, then people will rejoice with you. Otherwise, people will become jealous of you. When it is birth in the spirit, people will rejoice with your success. Otherwise, they'll be jealous of you and start putting obstacles in your way. And when the obstacles come, you have no solutions as to how to get around because you've never stood in your priesthood. Are you listening so far? As I kept reading, I saw an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this chapter. The Holy Spirit and the supernatural was in all these births that we are talking about. We read about the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus Christ, right? Because that is what will bring the purpose of God into being and you being fulfilled in life. Where the Holy Spirit has overshadowed you and filled you. John, even before he was born, the angel said he will be full of the Holy Spirit and go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of prophet Elijah. Even before he was born, he will go in the spirit. Look at what he said. He will be full of the Holy Spirit before he was born. And then he will go in the spirit and the power of the prophet Elijah. So you can see where God is going with this. Just because the priesthood stood up. And God said, I'm going to bear people of the supernatural, children filled with the spirit. But then they will move, they will go, they will step in places in the spirit and the power of prophet Elijah. And Elijah is the most revered prophet in Israel. Why? I don't know. But that man stood before God. He's one of three people who fasted, absolute fasted, no water, no drink for 40 days and still survived because God fed him. Jesus Christ was the other one. And Moses was the other one. God fed them. And I can assure you, if God is not feeding you spiritually, if you go 40 days fasting, I will do your funeral here. Because you'll be dead. Absolutely true. Sometimes people try to be very spiritual. We're not here for spiritualism. We're here for the supernatural of God. Hallelujah. We recommend fasting, but you need to be helped. So, he went in the spirit and power of Elijah, and Elijah was such a powerful prophet, both in the northern kingdom and in the southern kingdom, the whole of Israel. He was so, so powerful. The guy raised the dead. The guy caught a blind eye to see. He did so many miracles. And he heard from God. He could even pray and tell the rain, you will not fall for 3 years. And he didn't. And he would pray again. And the rains will come. The Bible said Elijah was an ordinary man like you. But he prayed. And he decreed that it would not rain for 3 years. And it didn't. And when he literally said, it's going to rain, Ahab. And the rains came. Elijah was a man like you and me. But he prayed. And the priesthood and exceptional people are people who praise. And be one of them. Are you with me? If you want to stand out, be exceptional like Elijah, you should be a praying person. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read verse 41, it tells you that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see Zechariah was supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit because he was before the presence of God, right? But he was not filled with the Holy Spirit. But Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So if the priesthood is not standing up in the home, let Elizabeth wake up and stand and let Elizabeth be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Elizabeth is the one who's going to birth John the Baptist. Somebody needs to birth John the Baptist. And it's got to be Elizabeth. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So in this church, when we begin to talk about Holy Spirit, we mean exactly what we are talking about, because that is what the scripture tells us. It is the Spirit of God that makes impossible things become possible. Hallelujah. And I can assure you that you guys, I said verse 41 of Luke chapter 1, I can assure you that as you guys are here and the things that is happening here, I mean, our budget was £350,000 and the VAT is coming on it, and I'm thinking, oh God, you know what, but you pay for it. And then this consultant will come and say, oh, the lift cannot go where it is, we have to pay a little bit more. And the neighbors will say, okay, we have to do a party wall and we have to pay a little bit more and pay a little bit more, and the budget keep going up. But then each time I sit down, I'm thinking, God, you know what? You're the one who do the impossible. You make the impossible become possible. Amen. When I was looking at it, I'm thinking, oh God, we're not going to have a carpet in here. But then I know that with God, all things are possible. Amen. And now we have a carpet. And we know it's going to be laid. Because God has worked through yourselves. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came over Mary. And the power of God overshadowed her. Because when you read verse 35, it tells you that then the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So Mary was also overshadowed. I don't know where, I mean, Joseph was at the time. But Mary was referred to. So that means somebody has neglected the role of the priesthood and somebody has risen to stand up in the place and said, I will not let this house to be a house of no barrenness. I will make sure it to be a house of fruitfulness, and I'm going to pray and I'm going to make sure the Holy Spirit come upon me, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to incubate what God wants to bring, and I'm going to give birth. After all, women are good at that. So I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, somehow along the line, we have to be in that place that we said we are going to make sure our house will be a house of no barrenness. Because God is speaking. Jesus himself was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That was the character was mentioned there. And you can refer to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 20. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. We see here that all the characters in our passage today received the Holy Spirit, but one, and that one was Zechariah, and yet he was the priest of the house. They all received that, and he didn't. He didn't because the guy did not stand in season. But then we know in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, one of my favorite verses that I was talking about when we were having a supernatural encounter yesterday with about 30 people, it said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of this world. That means you are going to bring the supernatural in your home. You are going to bring the supernatural in your home because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you will influence your home. You will influence your community. You will influence your church. You will influence your workplace. You will influence your business place. You influence your nation. And you, anywhere you go, the Holy Spirit will be with you. Because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. Hallelujah. We cannot be effective in ministry if the Spirit and power of God has not come over us. And in this church, I have seen that the ministries that are not effective, there is no power. There is no Holy Spirit. There is no prayer in there. Spiritually, the people are just sleeping. And you ask yourself, is there spiritual vitality in my ministry? If it is not, why? And ask yourself, are you standing up? Zechariah makes out because he was only waiting for the time and the seasons that he will be on duty to serve and offer incense before the Lord. Did you see that in verse 8 to 10? He was waiting for his time and seasons. But then there's no waiting for times and seasons. Zechariah missed out because he was not as often enough to hear the voice of God. His barrenness has become his priority. You can see that when the angel spoke to Zechariah, Zechariah said, how can I be sure? He started asking questions. Because I have no child, because I'm too old. You see that his priority was his barrenness. He's too old. He knew that he couldn't function at that age, and therefore it is not going to happen. Are you with me? That was his priority. Something became a priority. So what is your priority? What is preventing you from being a priest of God? What is your priority right now? Zechariah was waiting for his time and seasons to be on duty to serve. Zechariah missed out because he was not as often. His barrenness became his priority. Therefore, believing in God of the impossible and in impossible situations was a problem for him. Not even an angel could convince him of the supernatural power of God to change his perspective and his situation. That's what verse 19 and 20 telling us. I'm not going to preach verse by verse. I'm coming to the end of my message soon. So I just want to encourage you to hear that when something else becomes your priority, it's very simple. You are neglecting your priesthood. You see that? You are neglecting your priesthood. Not even an angel will convince you. We'll preach as much as we can, and nothing convinces you. But our perspectives need to change. The last point I want to talk about is the response to God's word. Zechariah asks, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in ages. He's already put his boundaries. So when it comes to anything of the Spirit of God, he unbelief and doubts seeps in and it holds him back. Did you get that? Unbelief and doubt seeps in because there was something with the priority. There's no spiritual energy in them, and therefore they can't connect with impossible things of God. And not only unbelief and doubt set in, you begin to transfer your spirit on others who otherwise believe in God. Look at what he was saying. How can I be sure of this? I am old. I'm an old man. And my wife is well along in ages. He's bringing his wife into his doubting and his unbelief and his lack of spiritual energy. He was bringing his wife into it. So when we are not functioning, the people around us who are the most close to us, we transfer our barrenness on them. That was what Elijah was doing. He was transferring on them. And transference is a spiritual thing. Other people will think it's a psychological thing, but it's a bad thing. Because people around you begin to behave like you, and sometimes you begin to even blame them for all your issues, and they have nothing to do with that. Unbelief and doubt will press the mute button on any revelation from the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 20 and 22, you see that now, Bible says that because Zechariah, you did not believe, you will be mute. You will not speak for a while. So the mute button was pressed. And I can assure you that if the male in this church, if the male in this house, if the male in your home is not standing up, and nobody else is standing up in the place, the mute button is pressed. And you will not receive any fresh end time revelation from God. But God wants us to do that. I want you to be bold in your home. I want you to be energized in your home. I want you to unmute those buttons. See, we have a ministry at the back. Sometimes you come and stand here, and if they are not watching, they don't unmute it, and we can't hear them. But now that the button is unmute, I can shout, right? Sometimes you see us frantically saying, hey, come on, do something. But guys, you are doing a great job, okay? And make sure you are praying and bring the supernatural into your ministry. Because it's not just about pressing buttons, but actually releasing the spiritual atmosphere in this room. And therefore, it requires a priesthood in that place, that ministry, a powerful ministry. That's good, Isaac. Keep it up. In verse 25, we said that Elizabeth said, the Lord has done this for me. She said, in these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among people. Elizabeth acknowledged God as the source of her pregnancy and worship him instead of what she was carrying in the womb. She could have easily done that. Whoa, my baby, and rub the belly all the time, which is good. But then she was literally, even though the baby was kicking very loudly, she was acknowledging that and blessing God. And Zechariah was supposed to have been doing that, hidden, because he lacked the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was the one who named the baby John. Remember, they told Zechariah that the baby is going to be called John. If you read verse 59 and verse 60, when the 8 days came and the guy was circumcised, he was brought before God and was circumcised and dedicated before God. His name was called John. They asked, "We are going to name him after Zechariah." And Elizabeth said, "No, he's going to be John." And remember, Zechariah all this time couldn't speak. So Elizabeth wouldn't know. But Elizabeth said, "No, not Zechariah. I don't want no barrenness again. I don't want the priesthood who doesn't function. I want the name to be John, something new. Something that is not in their lineage anymore. Something that is birthed afresh in the supernatural. Something that will come and walk in the spirit and the power of Elijah. The name is going to be John." And at that time, they asked Zechariah, "What name do you want?" He said it, "John." Second time from the wife, "John." So he wrote it third time and his mouth was released. You see, God had to keep his mouth mute until the one with the power and the Holy Spirit, the one who has gone before God, could speak with revelation before his mouth was muted. Because if he came, they would say, "Whoa, this man, hey, what a supernatural man is." But the truth is that he was only a priest by name. Some men are in the home and they are men by name. Nothing going on. They may make babies. They may bring money, but they are men by name. I said I was finishing, wasn't I? Oh, hallelujah. Let's see what Mary said here. Or let me sneak this one in, that might help us. When God blesses you with a job, a skill set, a child, money, or career, don't let that get in your way of worshiping God and giving him priority in your life. Otherwise, you end up worshiping what is in your hand, and that could one day become a problem for you. You understand that? Exodus 20 said, "I am a jealous God. Worship God only." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me," or "I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary was ready to receive the supernatural to be manifested in her life. And we read in verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise in their lives." Now I know I'm finished. Blessed is he who knows the Lord will fulfill his promise in their lives. Men in this house need to stand up in the church and in the homes to be recognized before God so that times of refreshing will come. Peter wrote this in, said this in Acts chapter 3, recorded by Luke, chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent then, change your ways, turn around, ask for forgiveness from God when you have failed to do what you're supposed to do, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." God is ready to bring times of refreshing into your home. Refreshing means that this time the immune button has been taken off, and therefore what is supposed to function, what is supposed to do, is happening. It means that your computer that's frozen, somehow along the line you press that button and something starts and it starts doing it again. Refresh, refresh, refresh. That dirty water will be refreshed with clean water. Times of refreshing has come. And I believe time of refreshing has come into this church. And the river of God is flowing. And I want each one of you to flow with it. The wind of God is blowing in this church. And I want you to blow with it. In the name of Jesus. And the past few weeks, we said, look, we have to have a vision of this house. We preach good messages. We do good things. We love people. But somehow along the line, we have to put in the structure so that we know where we're going. And everyone who is part of this house must go through that. Whether you are an elder, you are a bishop, you are a pope, or you're a servant, you got to go through that. If you want to walk with us, we're not doing anything weird. Those who've been to it, next week I'll give them a chance to come and share their testimonies, what God is doing. You have to go through new life, new beginning. The next session is starting on the 20th of March, a Wednesday, for 4 Wednesdays. If you haven't been part of this first session, I want you to be part of it. We'll talk about the basics of our faith, and we'll up the level as we go on and have a supernatural encounter after that. And those who've been in it have been helped indeed. And I want to challenge the males in this house that I want you to be part of it. Because you need to stand up. You need to be energized. You need to be spiritualized by the supernatural power of God. You have time for everything. But do you care about your home? Do you care about your people? Do you care about your generations? So I want you to be part of it. Keep playing. I want you to be part of this. So 20th of March, anyone who hasn't been part of this, I want you to start doing. 30 plus people found it necessary to be part of it. It has been a great benefit to them. And the other 30 or 60 can do the same. And the 30 after them can do it. And in all this thing, we'll finish up with inner healing and deliverance to help you to get rid of the junk that has entered your soul and spirit and bothering and disturbing and making you a land of barrenness. I want a land of no barrenness. So if you're a man in the house, I want you to stand right now. Hallelujah. Be quick. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Yes, clap for them. It's good to be a man, you know. Hallelujah. Without this man, none of you will be around. Hallelujah. We want to pray for the men. And if you're a child here, I know the Y factor is in here. If you're a child here that you know your father is not here and is not standing in the priesthood in the home, I want you to stand on behalf of your father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, stand on behalf of your father. I'm sure you love your father. You care enough about your father. You love your father enough. And whatever you think about your father is a good person. Only that he has ceased to be a priest. He's a decent man. Hallelujah, Lord. Shalaba shaka raba shatayana. Ebro shakala mama sakatayana. Ramama no saka. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you are sitting down, I want you to pray for these men. Hallelujah. And I'll pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Pray for them. If you can pray in the spirit, do so.